Well, I appreciate you being here. I knew we were going to have kind of a skeleton crew. Choir was running on a skeleton crew tonight, but I appreciate you being here. You know, I said when we first came here that we're going to have Sunday night church, even if it's just me and my family. Well, now anyone else in my household is my wife, but I guess the rest of us stay if they got to come. But anyway, I appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. Turn to James chapter 1. We're going to look at three passages real briefly, and then I'm going to do something a little different than we've done before. It's a little bit different than I usually do, but I see some principles. I'm going to pull some principles out of here and then give you some thoughts. We're coming down to the end of this year, just a couple hours, and we think about next year and what we're going to do. And this evening is, the folks we have here tonight are the workers, to be honest with you. These are the folks who serve in this ministry. We got some other folks here, you know, and are getting involved and so forth. That's good, and so, but you know, a lot of our folks here, you know, they come on Sunday morning, they're here and there, but there's some folks in our church, such as a lot of ones right here, are ones who dig in and want to make a difference in the lives of other people. You know, I was sitting there this evening listening to Pastor Gaskill talk about the what we want to do, reach out, and for folks this year. And there's a lot of folks who really think we do that to build a big organization. A lot of people think we do that just to, fill up the room and do all the, and so forth. The fact is, they have a hard time understanding that you do this. You give your life so that someone else can have life. Now, that seems foreign, but the fact is, when Christ comes in, his love constrains us. You start seeing souls as eternal beings that's going to spend eternity someplace. You start seeing people as individuals who have a life, and you see them struggling, you see them at the bottom. And the fact is, it comes to a point where you want to give your life, give your time, give your energy, even giving your funds to make a difference in the life of somebody else. That's very foreign to a lot of people in our world. But the fact is, that's really what it's all about. I mean, the fact is, think about the buses this morning. How many of you wanted to get up this morning, get out on a cold bus, and go get those kids? I didn't. And they probably didn't either, but there was something else that was bigger than that. The souls of those little kids. Things are going to make a difference in their life. Sometimes you don't think you're seeing any improvement, but time, take your time, take your time. We see the JIM kids, and we see what happens in their life over the time. And some fall away for a while. But the fact is, it's amazing. You make a difference in somebody's heart, and sometime, when you least expect it, they kind of come back looking for you. Come back looking for truth. They know who loves them. Look at James chapter 1, verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let's say it this way. When your faith is tried, it works your patience. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? What's going to go on? This isn't the way it was planned. This is not what I signed up for. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, let your patience be tried. Don't try to get rid of the problem, to get rid of the symptom. God brings things into our lives to change who we are. Says, knowing this, that trying your faith worketh patience, but let patience have their perfect work, that ye may be perfect. In other words, mature. That's what that word there means. It doesn't really mean perfection, because we can't be perfect. We're on this side of glory. But if you go back and look up that word in the Greek, it's mature, grown up. God wants us to grow up. He doesn't want us to be baby Christians all our lives. He doesn't want us being dependent upon everybody else around. Now, listen, we're a church. And so we're here, you know, to help and to grow. Listen, church is a hospital. It's not a museum. We're here to provoke one another to love and good works, to grow each other into the things that God wants us to be. And so we need to be all growing to maturity. Now, by the way, some of us are still not grown up.
me. You know, we're not all grown up. We're not all fully mature. We're still in a process. We will always be in the process of maturing. But listen, God tries us. He tries our faith. He tries our patience so that we may be perfect, mature, and entire, wanting nothing, having what we need to face the world. A few pages back, 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read these three verses, these three sets of verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Who's he writing them to? He's writing to the new Christians. He says, as newborn babes in Christ, you're born again, you're new, you have a new perspective, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you teaching you, but this is all brand new. You're going to see things differently like you never have. The old man's passed away. Behold, all things become new. But you've got to yield to that Holy Spirit. He says, listen, he says, as a newborn babe, he says, I want to encourage you to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Soak it in. Grow. That ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Man, that's just a taste. That's just a taste. That's not the ultimate, but yes, being in heaven is going to be the wonderful thing. But listen, just knowing that you're saved in this area, this time of life, this moment that we're here on this earth, that's just a taste. He says, there's more for you in life. There's a maturity. There's something better. Listen, I don't want to be a teenager all over again. Now, I'm not going to look for a show of hands, but my guess is there aren't many people in here who are not teenagers anymore who want to go back and be a teenager. Now, I wouldn't mind going back and having my dad pay all my bills. But I don't want to go back and be a teenager. There's things I see. There's wisdom. There's some things I wish I knew that I didn't know. And if I went back, I'd probably change a few things. But the fact is, that's exactly what we're talking about. None of us are grown-ups when we're born. We're babes. We need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God and grow. One more passage, Romans 12. Verse number 1, passage you know very well probably. Romans 12, 1. I'm going to take these thoughts. I'm going to do some application here. I was going to say we won't be here long, but every time I say that, I lie to you, so I'm not going to do that. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, Paul says, I beg you, therefore, brethren, saved people, by the mercies of God. Now look whose choice it is. Just like it's the choice of them to desire the sincere milk. Just like it's our choice to let patience have her perfect work and let him do his work on us. He says, I want you to make a decision. He says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He gave his life for us. The least we can do is give our life back to him. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's that mean? That means we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. And then we need to get into some meat. We need to grow. We need to be to the point that we are made perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's what he's saying here. He says, I want your renewing of your mind. If you do that, then watch, in the middle of the verse, that ye may prove or demonstrate, show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our lives will be and I hate to use the word display because we're not putting on a show, but our lives will be a testimony. That's a good testimony of what God can do in the hearts of people when they let God have his way with them. Surrender. Give yourself. Present yourself. Here I am, Lord. Whatever little I am. All the mess and the muck and that's in me, Lord, I give it to you. You purge it. You listen. You try my heart. You turn up the heat. Get out the junk out of my life. He says, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, watch, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's the scripture. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk about this. Climbing Maturity Mountain. Climbing Maturity Mountain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Again, we thank you for the truths that are in it. Lord, I want to be a blessing to our folks. We've got another year ahead of us. Here's some thoughts I want us to share here this evening. I know it's not a big group, and I'm not sure why this is what I was supposed to preach tonight, but Lord, I think it's what you want. So Lord, I pray that you do a work. We ask for your Holy Spirit again. We ask in Christ's name, amen. This message has some close ties, close relations to the message from this morning in some way, some of the same text, but we're going to kind of apply them a little different direction. As I said, the folks here tonight are most likely workers in the church who come to be fed so they are more able to feed others. And as we face the new year, we are beginning a new year of entering into the lives of others to help them realize their full potential in Christ. See, as the Lord is working in us, and we're iron sharpening iron, one helping the other to grow in the Lord, yet then there's other folks that are coming along, that we're entering into their lives to make a difference in their life. No, we have not arrived. None of us have arrived. But I tell you what, maybe we are at least far enough ahead that we can encourage somebody else in their walk with the Lord. We may also apply these truths I'm going to talk about tonight to our own lives. We may apply this to the lives of those who we are leading in the ministry, or our children at home, or a person that you've led to the Lord recently. Let me say this. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it's all of grace, it's not of works. If it's of works, it's not of grace. There's not one person who ever earned, merited 1 ounce of the gold in the floor and on the streets of heaven. None of it. None of us could go into the presence of a holy and a righteous God and count any of it as part of what we've done. Salvation is a gift. And yet, as we've talked about this, the Holy Spirit does the work in our life. But there's a sense where maturity is a participation event. Maturity is a participation event. Anyone can get older. But some people actually mature. I went back to my high school reunion. And it's amazing. Some of the folks that I thought, they're just a bunch of crazy kids. And you find out they've actually grown up and matured. And then there's some people you thought, they never changed. They're still high school. You know, they're still living right there in high school. Same mentality, same emotional state. The whole works. They're still in high school. Let me give you number one. Christian maturity is a natural process using spiritual influence. Christian maturity is supposed to be a natural process, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say a couple things here. Maturity takes time. It takes time. Maturity cannot be rushed. Let me say this. Maturity comes in the struggle. One of the reasons I like guys on my deacon board that have gray hairs is because they've been around for a while. They've already struggled. They've already made some mistakes. And learned. They've grown. There's some things you just can't get without some gray hairs. Maturity comes as you face the resistance of the world. God allows us to be resisted. Just as we cannot make someone mature physically or emotionally on our time schedule, we cannot make them mature spiritually on our time schedule. Now, I'm talking about how we work with other folks, how God's working with us, how we need to relate to someone else and watch them mature. There's things that we can do, but there's some things we got to be careful about. Some folks mature early. When you were in school, there were some folks who matured early, and there was some. We had one fellow in high school. He was a good guy, but when we left school on the 11th grade, he still looked like he was in 7th grade. I mean, he was still a kid. I mean, all the other guys, some of them were shaving, this kind of stuff, all beef, buff and all this stuff, and he still looked like he just got into middle school. And he was starting to get worried. And he was just a little kind of guy. He was nice, but just a little guy. We came back from the from the summer break between the junior and senior year, and all of a sudden he had grown. And I had to look up to him. I mean, it's just the way it is. Some people mature early. Some folks mature late. Some people seem to never grow up. Maturity occurs, watch me, as we climb the mountain of life. This sounds funny. I'm going to pick on Nathan. I always pick on Nathan. He's actually matured a little bit in the last 3 months. He got married. Love is blind and marriage is a real, real eye-opener. No, she's a good gal. But what I've seen is all of a sudden now he has the responsibility. Provide for his wife. Put a roof over her head to take care of her. I think being here in the ministry for the last year and a half here, about a year and a half, I think all of a sudden he sees some things that I've been through. He realizes what life is like in the ministry. He's matured some things. He's had to deal with some things that he never had to deal with before. It's real easy to say, you all do this and this and this and this. Did you realize, has everyone noticed that teenagers are smarter than everybody else in the world? They have all the answers. They've got it all figured out. You ever notice that? But I have found that the older I get, the smarter my dad is. The smarter my dad was, because I realized he knew some things I didn't know. Maturity comes as we climb the mountain of life. We can follow the rules and the paths, or we can take the difficult path or the risky path and try to do it on our own. It is in the stress and the strains of climbing that we're made stronger. So maturity takes time. It comes in the struggle. So it's a natural process if we allow the Holy Spirit to work. We can become bitter or we can become better. You've heard the old saying. Number two. I'm kind of looking between a relationship between those and someone maybe you're helping. But the fact is, you think about it for yourself as well. Number two, you cannot pull someone up Maturity Mountain. Listen, we're aiming to grow up. But you can't pull them up that mountain. What am I saying? If you pull them up before they're ready, they may very well not take the height seriously and fall to their demise. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we take somebody and we want to plant them up here and say, oh, well, there they are. And if we do it too soon, we can do more damage than good, because they may not be able to handle it and fall. And when they fall, they often get hurt. And when people get hurt, sometimes they just throw the whole thing out. We can't push somebody up Maturity Mountain. Let me go back and say this. Don't wait for someone else to pull you up the mountain either. Well, I could do so and so if everybody else would help me. I cannot mature for you. You're going to have to go through the struggle. You're going to have to go through the trying of your patience. You're going to have to go through the tough times. You are going to have to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, if you expect Him to do the work in your heart. Don't wait for someone else to pull you up. Some folks will blame others for their lack of growth. But no one can grow for you. If you were the only person on earth, who would you blame? You still would be responsible to grow in the Lord. Well, they did so and so, and it threw me off track. Why were you looking at them? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Listen, if the whole world goes crazy, the Lord's still true. Do right, old Bob Jones said, do right though the stars fall. No one, do not expect anyone to be pulling you up Maturity Mountain, because if they do, they're going to plant you up somewhere and you're going to be up someplace where you can't handle it. You're going to look down and say, oh my soul. You're going to get dizzy with the heights. Well, you work your way up there. Struggle with it. Let God do that work. Try your patience. You'll be ready to handle the top of the mountain when you get there. Maturity is a natural process, but you cannot pull someone up Maturity Mountain. Number three, you cannot push someone up Maturity Mountain. Part of what makes a butterfly strong enough to fly, they say, is the struggle that it must go through to escape the cocoon, or whatever you call it. They say if you help the butterfly out, it will not be able to survive. I don't know, does that sound right? That's what I've heard. Part of the maturity is in that last little moment when it's ready to burst into life and experience life, but it has to struggle to get out. Don't wait for someone to push you up. You want somebody just want to, well, I'll just keep pulling you along. They're going to say, well, you can do it. You wait for somebody to push. You cannot push somebody up Maturity Mountain and have success at the top of Maturity Mountain. We have to allow folks to struggle in their growth. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? If we do not allow them to struggle, they will always be dependent upon you rather than on the Lord. Now, we might need to be a safety net. Every once in a while, you might need to try to catch them. But people need to grow in their personal growth. Did you ever notice the camaraderie and the fellowship down at the VFW? You know, all these veterans, you know, they were all in the war. They might not have even seen each other, but they went through the battle. And they know what each one's thinking. They've all been through the struggle. Now, who you go to the struggle with is the one that you're going to be joined with. That's not the word I was looking for. Close to. If a person is the one who gets you through all the struggles, then you're going to be attached to that person. But when you see the Lord get you through that struggle, then He's the one you become attached to. He's the one that you're drawn to. The faith is not in man, it's not in the preacher, it's not in the deacons, it's not in the church. The faith we're supposed to be exercising is in the Lord God Almighty. He's our high tower, our fortress, our strength. There's times He takes us through the struggle so that we will be drawn to Him. Christian maturity is a natural process. God's got it determined. He's already in it, like we talked about this morning. We cannot pull someone else in up Maturity Mountain. We cannot push someone up Maturity Mountain. Number four, how do you do this? You must lead others up Maturity Mountain. You may say, watch your step there. You may say, well, there's a crack in the rock over here. You may say, let's go around this path. But you cannot climb that mountain for that person. We're not here. Listen, I'm not here to get a following for Sterling Walsh. You see, if I can keep you ignorant in the dark, till you are just holding on to every word, that can fill somebody's ego. Don't make a move without asking Pastor Walsh. Listen, I don't make a move without consulting with. Listen, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what we. But see, we don't do that until we learn to struggle. We desire the sincere milk. We want to grow, but once we start growing, then we've got to start moving, using, exercising those muscles and those muscles of faith. We must be climbing up maturity mountain with our own effort, diligently adding to our faith. Watch. We lead others to up maturity mountain. If we pull someone up maturity mountain, then they are apparently still not mature enough to climb the mountain on their own. You're getting up someplace where they don't have any business being yet. I've been accused of holding people back. I've been accused of holding people back in ministry. Well, they should let them do so-and-so. And I'll tell you what, most of those people who have accused me of that, within a year, proved why. They weren't ready. Well, if you've given them that position, then they wouldn't have got mad and left. If they're going to get mad and leave, then they're not ready for the position. Because if we're hurting that bad, we're holding our feelings on our cuffs and so forth like that, they're not ready to lead. Because listen, when you lead, it's not more privilege, it's more responsibility. When you lead, all of a sudden you're the target. And if something doesn't go right, they're coming to you. And if you're upset because you didn't get to do so-and-so or so-and-so, you're not ready to lead. What do we need to do? We need to climb the mountain up a little further before we're ready to take there. Listen, you got to get up before you're going to be up there on that mountain and telling everybody else, hey, here's how you ought to go. Let's do this. You need to be ready. I don't want to just plop you on the side of the mountain and say go, because you fall off. If we push someone up maturity mountain, they're not ready to climb it on their own. They're not ready to climb their own. They're not strong enough there. We've got to be careful. We lead others up the mountain. If you push or pull, you may find them actually fighting you. I've seen that happen too. Well, here's what we need to do. We start pushing them into places, and all of a sudden they're fighting. Why? Because they might have got the milk of the word, but there are some other things they don't understand yet. They're not ready. Are we still growing? We don't stop. We're still growing. We're still growing. Listen, do not lead folks to be dependent upon your pushing and your pulling. You hear what I'm saying? Don't lead them to be dependent upon your pushing and your pulling. That's selfish. It's self-serving and simply feeds one's ego. We must lead folks to trust the Lord themselves. And maybe we need to be ready as a safety net when they misstep, because they might. But we must allow folks to climb for themselves. Are you following what I'm saying here? Maturity Mountain is a mountain that every single person needs to climb themselves. Number five. Spiritual maturity is not a free ride. Spiritual maturity is not a free ride. Do not wait for someone else to pull you up Maturity Mountain. Do not wait for someone to push you up Maturity Mountain. You get to the top of Maturity Mountain by becoming strong as you strain and you struggle to trust God and His Word. Your trust must be in the Lord and in His Word, or you're still not mature. You will still need to be a child who is dependent on others. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. but whom also we, each of us individually, have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but watch, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hebrews 5:12 says this, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Watch this. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now the fact is, you don't give Silas, he's 8 months. Oh, that's good. 8 months. Now, if we go down here to Logan's, I'm not going to slap a steak in front of him. If I do, he's going to go, you're not going to know what to do with it. And you know, that's what we do sometimes. That's what we expect. We think, well, we're going to make this person into what we want them to be. See, you can't just slap that in there and expect him to grow up. He's not going to grow. Listen, does Joanne eat steak yet? No. Hamburger? Yeah, because it's already chewed up for her. Right? And so we don't get the steak unless we're willing to go through the milk and the formula and the cereal and the strained peas. And listen, we got to go through those things. But it's part of the maturity process. So don't get weary in well-doing. You say, well, I'm not growing like I should. Maybe you are. The Jaggers are this close to having one baby out of diapers. I mean, really, really, pretty well, all but. You know how that goes. Sometimes you have an accident. And she's over two. She's 2.5. Took 2.5 years to get rid of the diapers. You listen, you got somebody growing the Lord, and they turn around, they do something, and say, well, I can't believe they did that. How stupid can they be? Well, maybe they're 2 years old. Huh? Well, why can't they see that? Because they're still in the milk. So the fact is, maturity is a process. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged. Encourage. They're saved? Good. Well, they've forgotten how to live like a Christian. Okay, well, let's go back and give them a refresher course. Second Peter, you've heard me so many times, he says, giving all diligence to add to your faith. That's our decision. That's our struggle. To add to your faith, virtue, the determination to do what it takes to win the victory. To virtue, knowledge. But you know what? Everybody has to start with 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 4. You get stuck about that time. You know what? How kids are? They get to 7, and then they go back to 3, and they go back. But they eventually get it. Our Christian walk is the same way. We must be constantly maturing, but we need to give everybody some space, if you will. Someone else cannot add to your faith. Faith is an action of your heart. Whether doing this and doing this, well, fine, good. But give them some space. What happens if they fall? Well, they weren't saved in the first place. That's like saying, well, she messed up her pants today. She did. She messed up her pants. Well, throw her out. I'm not going to throw her out. And God doesn't throw you out. Now, he's not he's not giving you excuses. If we were already perfect, why would he say add to your faith? Giving all diligence. If we were already perfect, why would he say the trying of your faith worketh your patience, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect? Why? Because we apparently were not perfect. It's a process. You cannot push folks faster. You can't pull them up the hill. You've got to let them go in their own pace. The fact is, I tell folks like this, when I lead them to the Lord, I tell them, now, the Bible says, go ye all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You ought to be doing that pretty soon if you haven't done it already. You're saved. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I said, that's what we do on Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and Sunday school, and RU, and even on Thursday when the seasoned saints get together, we add a little something there. That's why we do that. So that we're growing in him all the time. Let me give you a little word to leaders. I'm almost done. A word to leaders. Encourage folks in their struggle. Encourage them in their struggle. But don't do the struggling for them. Be careful and discerning before you remove and try to relieve them of the struggle, if at all. You ever heard the term enabling? Sometimes God turns up the heat, and if we go in there and turn the air conditioning down, then the heat's not going to do the work it's supposed to do. So how can you, don't you love them? Yes. Absolutely I love them. Which is why sometimes you let them alone. Even Paul said, you think I'm tough. Paul said, turn them over and let Satan have his way with them. What's that mean? Let Satan beat them up. They don't want to live on the Lord's side. Let Satan beat them up a little bit. And then they'll come to themselves. Kind of like the prodigal son. Why didn't dad go after him and say, son, please, please, please don't? Now, I'm sure there's something, no, son, you sure you want to do this? I'm not sure this is a good thing. Maybe you ought to think about this. Let's sleep on this. Well, let's wait a few weeks here and think about this and pray about it before you head out on your own, son. I'm sure he did. But the fact is, when the son decided he was going to go off and take his inheritance and go off to the far country, daddy said, how do I know? Because dad was still in the porch waiting for him when he came back. But you know what he had to do? He had to allow that boy to eat with the pigs. To wake up in the morning with the same pigs, the same hogs he had slopped the day before. And I love it when the Bible says, and when he came to himself. Oh, this is stupid. My dad's servants live a better life than I do. I don't deserve to be his son and be treated like his son either. But I know I can get a decent job and have a decent boss and let dad be my boss. Why did he leave? He probably left because his dad was his boss. And yet he had the privilege of being the inheritor, the one who's going to inherit this, you know. And he left all that. He said, well, you know what, I'll just be. See, it changes your perspective. You know what he did? Presented himself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And when we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, he says, let me treat you like my boy. Let me treat you like my son. Glad you're back, son. Kill the fatted calf, put a robe on it, put a ring on there. You know, the ring was probably like giving him a corporate credit card. The ring was a seal. It was daddy and son. He gave him his ring back because it came to himself. Do not push folks into molds. This is the leaders. Don't force folks into molds of your own making and call it maturity. Sometimes we decide what maturity is. Listen, I'm a good independent fundamental Baptist preacher, but the fact is there's some of my friends and cohorts are good men who think that you're not a good independent fundamental Baptist unless you do everything like they did in 1953. Or you do it like so-and-so preacher did it. Then you end up with this camp and that camp and this camp and that camp. I know you got to make rules, maybe we have college and so forth, but we're accountable to God. Don't get me wrong, but we got to be careful. Because what has happened is we had a lot of folks who were pressed into this mold. A lot of young people who were pressed into a mold, and because they looked good, because they looked the part, they didn't embarrass mom and dad, the preacher. They thought everything was right. The problem was they were forced into a mold. And then when they got old enough to do their own thing, listen, that mold split wide open all the way down the side, and poof, everything exploded. Why? Because they were pushed and pulled up Maturity Mountain. And they said, see, we got a jewel right here. Look what we have produced. You hadn't produced anything. What you produced was an empty shell. Not the person on the inside. Why? Because that person needs to learn and grow and struggle and become the Christian on the inside out. Maturity is a heart issue and not a personal appearance issue. Now, what happens on the inside is going to show up on the outside. It's going to change. We got some boys coming to youth group. They got a long way to go. But they've gotten in and some point, you know what? Some of them have gotten haircuts. They've kind of changed the way they got a long way to go yet. They're still on milk. But they're growing. Now we can legislate all that. And I think there's sometimes with leadership, we have leadership requirements. We have the guys wear jackets and ties that are going to be ushers or sing in a choir or work someplace or going to teach. And ladies, we ask them to dress nice and make sure things are, covered up and both up and down, and ask them to wear skirts and dresses if they're going to do that, because I think that represents Christ well. We do that. We ask you to do that because we want to grow. You say, well, you're pushing me into something. Well, if you're not ready for that, then you're not ready to be in leadership then either. Leadership is not more privilege, it's more responsibility. It's less freedom. There's less freedom the higher you go up on that ladder. Always is. Always is. Do not drag folks into submission and call it maturity. Do not guilt folks into submission and call it maturity. Teach, lead, let your light shine. Be prepared to give the reason for the hope that's within you. Be ready to help those who come to learn and mature. But you cannot climb Maturity Mountain for someone else, because if you do, they will not have the balance and the strength to stay there. They must go through the same struggles, the same temptations, the same trials and the fears and the failures as everyone else. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and get drunk to learn not to drink. I mean, this is general terms here, but the fact is there are struggles. There are some things I struggle with that maybe you've never struggled with. There may be some things you've struggled with that I never struggled with. But the fact is we still need to go through the struggles. We still need to go through these things and get them right between our heart and the Lord's heart. We need to go through the process so it's real. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that this, by the trying of your faith, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and that patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. This is 1 Peter 5, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in your friend's faith. See? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. They're all going through the same thing. But they all have to go through the same thing. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, 1 Peter 5:10, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Maturity comes with the territory. Some things are caught more so than taught. We cannot live life for other people. We cannot push people through maturity. We cannot pull folks through maturity. No matter what we want, people are still going to mature at their own rate. Just because we've got them dressed up. Listen, you can dress up a pig and put a bow on its head, but it's still a pig. When I was growing up, we'd never been animal people. We got a hold of a standard poodle. Big black poodle. And when I was growing up, just real, real little, we called him Dusty. There was a reason why we called him Dusty. Because that was his perfect state of being. Dusty. Listen, you take him in, you give him a bath, and you know the first thing he would do? I mean, you have to hold him back. And if he could sneak out that door, he would go out the door, he'd go into the flower bed, stir it all up, roll in it. Every time. He's a dog. That's what dogs do. We're sinners. We have to grow. People are going to grow at their own rate. Do not spare folks from all the bad times, because that's part of the maturing. Allow folks to learn to trust the Lord to get them up the mountain rather than trusting us. Be willing to be a safety net in emergencies. Encourage others as they climb. Maybe even give a little instruction, a little direction. Demonstrate good, mature climbing techniques in your own life. We're all climbing up Maturity Mountain, but we all have to climb ourselves. We can help, we can encourage, but everybody still has to do the climbing themselves. If we're going to grow, it's our decision. I don't care, really, if all your examples, all your mentors, if you will, are bad, we will still give account to God for ourselves. Sounds like there's one over here, one of my grandkids who's trying to learn how to grow. I don't know if it's one of ours or not. Doesn't sound like one of ours, but anyway, that's what they do. Climbing Maturity Mountain. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, a little word to the wise here this evening. Maybe each of us should, you know, examine ourselves. Those of you who are leaders and are trying to help others climb that mountain, may we have wisdom in how we do that. Maybe we're in the process of climbing and we've maybe been putting it all on somebody else, expecting somebody else to push them and pull them up the hill. And really, it's our responsibility. We answer directly to you, every one of us. Just like we answer directly to you for our salvation, we answer to you directly for our maturity and the decisions we make. Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us and pray to speak to hearts. As the bowed and our eyes are closed, the stands are our feet, the piano's playing. The Lord's spoken to your heart. The altar's open. Make some decisions. We've got a year ahead of us.